Here, if you stand What's there, you house? Can tell me what he's doing
what
from here.
What book do you have behind you? You have a bookshelf behind you and you only have one sideways book? Don't you know how to teach? You gotta put like...
That's not even a book. It's a DVD.
Oh, is it? What is it?
Joe's Apartment, starring Jerry O'Connell.
That's a really funny one DVD to have.
I have other DVDs.
Have you watched Joe's Apartment?
I have watched, when I was in middle school and high school, I probably watched Joe's Apartment like once a month.
Why? I've never even heard of it. You've seen it probably like dozens of times then. What's the appeal?
I just loved it. Yeah. I thought it was so funny when I was in high school, and I haven't watched it in a long time, but I keep trying to convince my my partner that we should watch.
I feel like you could email like various people that worked on that movie and tell them how much you loved it. And I'm sure they'd actually really appreciate it.
They probably talked to you because they didn't do anything else.
Well, see, that's always been, I don't know if it's a dream of mine, but it's always been like if I were ever to meet Matt Damon.
Oh, yes.
To tell him that probably easily my favorite thing that he was ever in is The Informant would probably tickle him.
That's probably true.
Yeah. Because I love The Informant. It's
either
so good.
You'd be like, well, you don't like my other performances?
No, no.
You don't like Good Will Hunting?
I'm not interested in any of your apples, sir. I like I like your corn, sir.
Roughly 24 to 92 hours ago, Stab's team of comedy scientists commissioned three specific humorists to give various potentially comedic takes on several random topics, which they will now perform for the first and likely last time in front of a live studio audience in a show called Stab.
This is Stab, finally putting away the tree and defigging all of our puddings. Now let's introduce tonight's panel. Our first panelist wrestles babies for charity. He's the director of Squad Patrol. It's Marco Cabote.
Hey there, Jesse Jones.
Hi there. Our second panelist once threw out the first pitch at a funeral for a man who always wished he'd gone to a baseball game. He's a talented performer, Stephen Boyd. And our third panelist can say, please stop hitting me, I'll give you anything you want in 17 languages. He's still recovering from Chan-mas. It's Eric Barger. And I'm your host, Jesse Jones, just doing that fang, no matter how many times I'm asked not to. Welcome to the first Stab Show of 2024, a show that maybe someday you'll be able to hear some Saturday night at 11 p.m. on KUTZ 103.1 FM or KUTZFM.org, because that's where you can hear this thing, on Real Ass Terrestrial Radio. I shit you not!
All right.
All right. Let's meet tonight's panel. Hey, Marco.
Hey, Jesse.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine.
Did you have trouble getting people to go to this one?
No.
Same. You asked me earlier this week, and usually weeks in advance.
It's just because I booked up through the Christmas show and then had nothing after that. Okay. So my booking practices are book like 3 months in advance.
Yeah.
And then get down to the last one, and then, oh shit, I don't have anybody for next week.
You're usually pretty good about it. I figured people would have plans.
I try. Oh no. No, this was everybody getting booked at the last minute. Well, you have got some busy times coming up.
I do?
Well, I mean, you're going to be in San Francisco in a couple weeks.
Yes. So I'm going to Sketchfest.
Yeah.
Do 25 minutes at a place. I don't remember what it's called.
Another solid ass.
I was ready. I was ready to advertise myself.
Well, the name of your sketch group might help.
The name of my sketch. Thank you. Thank you.
I introduced you as the director of Squad Patrol.
I am the director of Squad Patrol. The sketch comedy group is going to Sketchfest on the January the 19th.
Oh, nice.
At a theater. It is called.
It's not. It's Marco.
You pick whichever one. You
it's
go.
Not going to be at a theater. It's going to be at a coffee shop. Theater. Is it going to be at a theater this time?
Yeah, it's like at 100 seats.
It's at the Orpheum.
Nice. The original one that I did when I went previously, it was about this big.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? Bullshit. I don't want to ever go to a place that small.
It's nice to hear.
No, but it was small.
Yeah.
And nobody laughed. And they didn't like it. So this year, they're going to like it.
Yeah. You can really hear... Just a full room of
silence.
Yeah.
Yes.
just.
Yeah. We don't like you.
This was a poor choice.
Yeah, go back home.
Why have you done this with your life?
Is your audience filled with people from the 1920s?
Excuse me.
I don't understand these jokes.
Button your lip and beat feet, chum.
Throw tomatoes at me.
Yeah.
For legit.
Yeah. Well, good to have you. Good to see Squad Patrol still trucking along.
Yeah, it's doing pretty good. Well, I enjoy it.
Yeah. All right. Well, good to have you.
Thanks, Jesse. It's going to be fun.
No, thank you. Oh, now scribble something illegible left-handedly.
I can't.
Jackass. Sorry. hey, Steven.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hello.
We've largely not met.
No. But now we smallly have.
Yes.
Yeah.
We've un poquito met. you come recommended.
Yeah, from Cameron.
Yeah, Cameron Schmid was going to be here, but he forgot that he had a commitment. And it was nice that he offered to replace himself. Most people just peace out, and I'm left with a two-person.
Well, I was wondering, is there anything specific Cameron usually provides to these shows? Because I would hate for people to go without something Cameron-y if they were promised Cameron.
No, I mean, he has a very particular sense of humor in his. You wouldn't replicate that anyway.
That's true.
And we wouldn't
Especially
want
time
that.
Somebody has a good bit, he goes, "Light the beam!"
Oh, yes. Yeah, I don't have any beam references all.
There would have to be a lot of, deep NBA lore. Yeah.
Nah, I got it.
Well, Steven, you're here what matters.
Yeah.
Coming recommended. What is it the fuck that you do, then?
Like, in my life, what do I do, like, in general?
This is more in the entertainment
realm. Oh, sure. Well, I do improv a lot. I do, like, character stuff, and occasionally I'll put on, like a musical or something, which is really fun.
Nice.
If people are ever interested to know what I'm up to, I have an Instagram where I post comedy stuff. So, big.fat.heart.poetry.
Mm-hmm. That used to be under your face right now.
Oh, cool. Yeah. It used to be just poetry, but now I'm doing other stuff. Nice. So, here we are. But, yeah, like, random improv shows popping up and... Yeah,
well, yeah, and a friend of the theater recruiting you potentially into a new show of theirs, too, so that'll be fun.
Yes.
I'll get to hella know Stephen Boyd.
Yeah, big a know.
Yeah, so much. Mooey, mooey.
I'm getting a follower right now.
I just did.
Oh, hey, look at that.
Man,
all right, well, good to have you, Stephen. Eric Barker.
Yo, what up?
Hi there, how are you?
I'm great. I can't see. Did human beings come in?
They did. Yeah. Don't act like that's a surprise.
I'm not. I didn't act like it's a surprise. I didn't know.
Yeah.
Because I can only see, from my point of view, I can see Jesse's torso and Marco's head and Steven's.
Oh, I didn't.
What? Oh, hey. What? He can see that through that camera?
Oh, hello. No, it's okay. I don't need to see everybody.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. What are you up to, sir?
Exciting.
Yeah.
You
still decompressing from your December project?
Oh my fucking god! I'm I'm so that wore me the hell out.
A month long project like that will do that. If you don't know, check out Eric's It Electric on Instagram, and you can check out Chanmas, where he did a video a day, 25 days of Chanmas. And it looked like a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot. It was like a 1-minute video every single day leading up to Christmas. And I really thought it would be like just super easy and fun. And just by the end of it, I was just like, oh my God, thank God this is over. Yeah. But it was pretty cool because Elizabeth Chan, the Queen of Christmas herself, wanted to be in the last video. So she was in the one on Christmas, which was very fun, and I edited myself to make it look like I was popping out of an envelope.
That was pretty nice that you got rewarded that way. All right, well, good to have everybody. You'll get what's going on. I try to explain it. You'll get it. Let's get the actual program started. See, you didn't miss anything. Here we go. Segment one, it's reorganization. Did you know that Oasis is more than just your favorite mid-90s musical distraction and pair of hateful brothers? It's true! OASIS actually stands for the Organization of the Advancement of Structured Information Standards. Isn't that fascinating, adjacent? Well, now that we... now, how about we quickly forget about both of those extremely well-known meanings of OASIS, and instead, you give me who or what else OASIS might stand for or represent to you, Marco Cabotigo.
OASIS.
Mm-hmm. Like a spelling bee.
Did you metal, bro? Bro, you even metal? I bet you fucking don't, you piece of shit. Just remember the simple rules that I follow when I metal, because yeah. I metal hard. I metal the shit out of everything, man. Mm. Throw the horns, metal. Oasis. That would be Ozzy, Accept, Savatage, Iron Maiden, Savatage again because they rock so fucking hard. You ever listen to that band? They're fucking rad. You're missing out if you haven't listened to Savatage. Shit. That's a real band. It's like Sabotage, but with a V.
Oh. Okay.
Do you get it?
I get it now.
Okay, that's right.
I get it now.
Anyway,
bro.
You got Ozzy on there because you got to pay respect to Black Sabbath. Because sure. What are you going to do? What are you doing in life? If you're listening to metal music, you don't pay respect to Black Sabbath. Right. You have to do that, bro. You got, if you're not going to be going full metal if you don't listen to Black Sabbath, all your influences should be influences based on basically on Black Sabbath. Anyway, I'm going to turn the page here. And if you aren't even listening after that, you have to listen to German Metal Titan Accept. They sang Balls to the Wall, man. You ever hear that song? No. It's a badass song. It's from 1985. Balls. Well, it's actually 1985. I believe it's 81, 82. I don't remember what year it is. It might be a little bit later than that. It was a pretty good album. You should get it. It's pretty cool. Anyway, after that, you listen to Sabotage. Mm-hmm. They're fucking rad. I'm just saying. You haven't heard any of their music, but they're pretty cool.
I'll look them up.
And anyway, they're the Metal Titan. Mm. Just a badass Metal Titan you should listen to. And of course, the I is for Iron Maiden.
Mm-hmm.
Iron Maiden. Do I need to say anything else? Need I say more about Iron Maiden? I don't need
Enough
to.
Said.
I'm not going Enough to. Said, you should know it. Enough learn, said. Bitch. Learn. I did write learn. And the S again is for Sabotage.
Yeah.
Which is, they're an underrated rock metal masterpiece, Jim. And oh yeah, I have a shirt on.
Oh,
there's the band Sabotage.
Oh, shit. I didn't even notice
which
that.
I did. Oh. I did wear my Sabotage shirt, which I put on before I wrote this. So just so you know, I'm not faking that. Anyway, you might be like wondering why I didn't include Metallica or Megadeth or Anthrax or Dio.
It's Oasis.
Because it didn't fit the acronym.
Yeah.
Changed my whole life to accommodate that acronym. Anyway, here's 5 cassette tapes. Go get some knowledge, son. Hails and horns.
Hails and horns.
That's right. I'm done.
Okay,
that's
good.
That nice. Was all my handwriting.
Nice. That well done. Perfect.
These
well
are the done. Official metal horns, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's how you metal.
Throw them horns.
Yeah, we metal
horn.
Throw
the horns.
Yeah. And I know Marco enough to know how insincere... some of that was given.
Ozzy is.
Yeah, given.
I literally looked up a list of O's like, yeah. as I got here. I'm like, there has to be a metal band that starts with O that I like.
Given Marco's preference of Dio's Sabbath years to Ozzy's Sabbath years.
Ozzy.
Yeah.
I don't really like Ozzy Osbourne. I think he's terrible.
So I knew that even pretending.
It did hurt.
I know, yeah.
But
I felt
fine.
It.
Is Ozzy Osbourne watching? He might be upset.
Might be. You don't know.
He doesn't know what's happening.
It's a big, well, yeah. He hasn't understood the world around him for like 15 years.
I saw him with Black Sabbath in 2005, and he ruined the concert.
He did? What did he do?
He was terrible.
Oh.
Like, the rest of the band was great, and he was terrible. It's like the original lineup's here, and then he saw him, and he ruined it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, so I've held that against him.
Not a fan at all. Anyway. I'm still...
That's not true. I really like his first couple albums are pretty
good. All right. Thank you, Marco. So good. Hail Satan. Steven, what do you have in the way of an OASIS?
So it's kind of funny. I knew this was an abbreviation before the show, but I didn't realize it stood for that. So when I was in college, I was an EMT, or at least I did like EMT training.
Uh-huh.
So I thought I would pursue something in the medical field. I didn't end up doing that, but... Actually, yeah. So OASIS, and I'm being 100% serious. Like, we use this as a mnemonic device for administering first aid when you enter on the scene, you know, because there's a lot going on.
Sure.
You need to get your bearings
Gotta
straight.
Have something to ground you in a chaotic situation.
Yeah.
Sure.
So OASIS, it was like a basic protocol, and I went through my stuff. I dug out the card that had like the breakdown of it. It was something you could just reference if you ever needed it, just to make sure you did stuff by the book.
Sure.
So it said, like, you know, paramedics, when you arrive on the scene, just remember Oasis. Mm-hmm. Old. Maybe it's just the patient's time.
Mm.
Yeah.
Do you think you should play God?
Yeah.
It's very important. A, act. Act like you know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
There may be a lot of chaos and finger pointing, but remember, you are the one wearing a uniform. And people want to believe you know what you're doing. Put on some gloves and start digging around in the patient. We call that palpating. If you feel like you're taking too long, remember, all paramedics carry a small hunk of sausage in a baggie. Remove the piece without anyone seeing, then stick your hand in their mouth and pull out the meat, declaring, "Now that's a spicy meatball!" People love a good line, and at least you've done something.
It's true.
S. Sleeves. Roll them up. This will really look like you mean business. Like you know from experience that things might get messy, and you don't want to get your uniform dirty. People will probably give you some more space, too, because they'll think to themselves, oh, man, something might squirt out of this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. I is ice. Ask for ice. It's just one of those things that always seems to help. Nobody's going to say, do you really think ice is necessary? It will definitely buy you some time if you're kind of improvising out there. Plus, it's also good for cooling a drink or hot soup if you're trying to eat quickly while administering aid.
Yes.
S, stop. If at any point you think you're getting in over your head, you can always pause. Level with everyone. Say, I'm not sure what's really going on here. Ask other people for help. Let other people try doing things to the person. After all, we're all on the same team, Team Human. And that's Oasis for paramedics.
Oh. The thing I hate most about that is its likely accuracy.
Yeah. It came from the card, yeah.
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 Just look busy.
It all fit on a card.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what paramedics show up. They go, oh, shit. I don't know. I don't actually know what to do.
No, no, no.
Everything's going to be okay, sir.
Maybe it's just your time.
Ice. Here's some ice.
Just chew on this. All right. Thank you, Stephen. Excellent entry into this program. Eric James Barger the First, what have you in way of OASIS?
All right. So, Oasis. Mm-hmm. All right. So, it's funny that you had this acronym because I follow a lot of psychologists on Instagram, mm-hmm. and I actually saw a post today that was of this acronym. So, this is a post from a psychologist on Instagram. Let's talk about ordering at restaurants. Many of us grew up with dysfunctional parents where interactions like this were considered normal. Waiter, so you'll have the lamb tartare with shaved white peas? Parent, yes, and for my side, I would like the minestrone soup. Waiter, I'm sorry, we're all out of the soup. Parent, out of soup? Out of soup? What the heck are you talking about? Are you some kind of piece of crap? I want soup. I want soup. You better give me soup or I'm going to freaking butt, pal. The waiter by the collar and say, listen up, buddy. You better give me some soup or I'm going to kick some real butt. How many of us have watched as our parents bang a knife and a fork on the table like little kids at a pizza party chanting, we want soup. We want soup. Then getting the entire restaurant to chant along with them. We want soup! We want soup! Though this may be considered just the way things were done, this is actually not normal behavior. It comes from a deep-seated need to control whether or not they are eating soup. Older generations have a hard time accepting that soup is not available. But we can alter the intergenerational patterns by telling ourselves there is no soup, but I am safe. We can then mentally travel to our oasis, order a salad instead of soup. Example one, your parent orders soup, but is told the restaurant is out of soup. Your parent notices a man at a nearby table eating a bowl of soup. He says to the waiter, what the heck? What are you, some kind of piece of crap? That piece of crap over there has soup, and I want soup. The waiter then explains that that man got the last cup of soup available. So when the waiter leaves, your parent slicks his hair back, cracks his knuckles, and says, "Watch and learn." He then goes over to the man with the soup, puts his hand around his shoulder, and goes, "Hey, buddy." Then, while making intense eye contact as a distraction, takes his special extending spoon with his other hand and tries to steal a bite of that man's soup. Then the man notices and says, "Hey, what the heck are you doing, you piece of crap? Are you trying to steal my soup?" Then they get into a tussle, and your parent yells, "Hey, give me that soup, you piece of crap!" And the man forcibly holds back your parent's arm as they try to steal a bite of that man's soup. This is an opportunity to visit your oasis and tell your waiter, "I'd like to order a salad instead of soup." Example two, your parent and the man at the next table are disappointed to learn that there is no soup available in the whole restaurant. They tag team calling the waiter a freaking piece of crap. Then your parent says, "No, I know there's soup in here somewhere. Come on, everybody, let's find it." Then all the dads in the restaurant stand up and march toward the kitchen, chanting, "Soup, soup, soup." Mm-hmm. 15 sweaty old men burst into the kitchen as the chef yells, "No, please, we're just out of broth." Then they hold him down and rip off his hat because they're convinced that there's some kind of ratatouille under there who can make them a delicious soup. Upon discovering no ratatouille under his hat, they say, "What the heck? What kind of piece of crap is this?" They ransack the kitchen looking for the ratatouille who will make them soup. This is your opportunity to visit your oasis and say to the waiter, "I would like to order a salad instead of a soup." Mm-hmm. Parents who see a child regulating their emotions will desire change. This may not be an easy transition for them, as salad sucks and soup is awesome. However, by practicing your oasis, you can show them how to break the patterns of intergenerational trauma. Did this post resonate with you? Tell me about your soup-obsessed parent in the comments. And for more information, follow me at Mrs. Mind.
Oh. Thank you, Eric.
Okay. I had my
favorite. You're welcome.
Tell Molly to watch the show using data. Can't split up that bandwidth. There's just not
downloading movies in the other room.
Maybe. I don't know. Just mining crypto in there. All right. Segment two, it's pickup lines. We have two choices: living alone for the rest of our lives, or risking mortifying embarrassment nightly by haphazardly throwing drunken word salad at someone's face, hoping they will somehow be enticed enough by that to spend the rest of their life with you. And somehow, everyone in the world is not alone. In pickup lines, you're asked to give us three chat-up lines to or from the following various random nonsense things. So let's give it a shot. What's the worst that can happen? So we go 1-1-1-2-2-2 three times around. Marco, this was actually an abandoned prompt. Jack Marie dropped out of a show when we had the pickup lines, and I did not want this one to go to waste, and it seemed like perfect for you. So let's hear your first of three pickup lines, to or from an old issue of the TV Guide.
So I want to preface this with saying that I own exactly one old issue of a TV Guide.
Well, you got reference material.
Which is the September 4th through 10th, 1993 TV Guide. Which I own because it has Captain Kirk on the front.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that inspired me for this. What is it called? Pickup line number one.
Yes.
"Hey, girl. What's going on with you, girl? You got jerking soap ads and basic filtered cigarettes? Is Danny Glover hosting a Civil War Journal special on A&E on Wednesday? Is it focusing on Stonewall Jackson? Well, you know what they say. I can be your war between the states. You can end my slavery. You can Jefferson my Davis. You can Getty my Berg. You can fuck up my Reconstruction period."
That's it.
Yeah.
That's like, number one.
Yeah, and that's
actually,
one.
Actually, as Eric started talking, I flipped to this page, and I only had, you know what they say. I went, oh, shit.
Oh.
So I wrote down, like, what do I know about the Civil War?
Yeah, there you go. That works. What do you think? Steven, let's hear your first of three pickup lines. To or from, and maybe I'm the only one that has this reference. I hope not. But your first of three pickup lines. To or from a microwave spaghetti stained and blistered piece of Tupperware.
Yeah, these are all from in my mind. So I'm I am the microwave spaghetti stained and blistered piece of Tupperware approaching my, what do you call them, the suitee?
Sure.
Sure. Here's the first one. These stains may be ragu, but you can give me Prego.
Yeah. Classy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was I just the only kid dumb enough to microwave spaghetti in a piece of Tupperware?
No, I think everybody has this experience, but I thought it was more like you stored it in the fridge and then you pulled it out and you're like, why is it still red when you try to
Well, that too, but go ahead. Try and microwave some spaghetti in a piece of Tupperware.
Yeah,
see what you get.
That's going to mess up your insides.
This happens more to me in like curry nowadays. Mm. This is the curry. Okay.
Well,
curry era.
La-di-da.
They didn't curry yet when Jesse was a kid.
Yeah. Yeah. Wasn't a thing.
It's a recent cuisine.
It's new.
Did you know India is 35 years old?
Jesus. Okay.
Eric, let's hear your first of three pickup lines. Two are from face blindness.
All right. Excuse me. Are you the janitor here? Because I think you swept me off my feet.
Oh.
Also, I can't tell the difference between you and the janitor. And I need the janitor because there's a big poop on the floor of the men's room.
Yeah. So, you know, shooting both those shots. Yeah. Who knows? All right. Second time around. Marco, your second pickup line tour from Old Issue TV Guide.
Hey, girl. Why don't you give me the full two-page spread advertisement for the Chevy Chase talk show? Open up. Ooh, girl, he got Richard Lewis on and Goldie Hawn and Martin Mull. That's so fucking hot. That's it.
Oh, 1993.
He did have Goldie Hawn. He did not have Martin Mull.
That show wasn't on for very long, right? That was like a famously short show.
Yeah, whatever TV got to have, it is advertised every day.
Wow.
You nailed it. You caught this flash in time of the Chevy Chase show.
And all the ads are terrible.
Well, yeah.
They're always like, he's still not ready for prime time. And he has like a nose ring, and it's like, he's wacky. It's like, no, he's a jerk.
Yeah. This is going to be terrible. Check it out before it's gone. Martin Mull.
Martin Mull.
Steven, second time around. The microwave stained spaghetti Tupperware. You know.
Okay. Microwave me, dishwash me, leave me in your work bag on Monday and wash me Friday. I'm rough, I'm dirty, I'm S&M, baby, spaghetti and meatballs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
That's pretty good. If we're lucky, that's all of our first S&Ms.
Yeah. hopefully my last, too, honestly. I'd love
well,
a
I don't know.
Spaghetti
I'm not
meatballs
yucking anybody's spaghetti around here. Eric! let's hear your second pickup line to her from face blindness.
Right. Do. Hey, everybody. I gave the KJ $25 to let me do the next song, and this song is dedicated to the beautiful woman at the bar. Yeah, the one who looks like every single other person at the bar. Here we go. Cause you are close to me, you're like my father. Close to me, you're like my brother. Close to me, you're like my sister. You look like all of those people.
Yes.
You are the only one, look like everyone. And so to you, this song I sing all my life. Everyone's look like you. And I thank God, even though God also just looks like you. And all my life, every woman has looked like you. And I hope that you feel the same way too. Yes, I hope that you like that I look like you.
That was amazing.
Oh, wonderful. Beautiful.
Love that. Casey and JoJo. So good.
Oh, God damn it. that's your second one? Oh, Eric.
Strap in, Jesse.
All right.
Wrap in.
Marco, let's start the wrapping up of pickup lines with your third to or from an issue of the TV Guide.
Number three pickup
line. Yes.
Hey, girl. You a dirty girl? Yeah. Are you? I don't know what I wrote. Are you a good girl? Did you give 1991's Return to the Blue Lagoon a sequel to the 1980 The Blue Lagoon 1 star, baby? Me too. Friday at 2 p.m., huh? TMC, the movie channel?
Yeah.
Hot. PG-13? Rated PG-13 for nudity? PG-13 nudity is the best kind of nudity, baby. Especially when the nudity is of the 15-year-old.
Oh,
jeez. That's what it is in the movie. That's apparently okay in 1991, is what I'm saying.
Well,
that's 1991 hot right there. They still didn't give a shit about that, apparently, in 1991, which seems really late for that, right?
Yeah. I mean, you can't watch most 80s comedies anymore, so...
Yeah, that's what I thought. I just said that. I was PG-13 for nudity, and yeah. I was like, wait, this isn't right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, hey, girl. That's how my entire understanding of pickup lines.
That seems fair.
Just saying, hey, girl.
Yeah. That's, I think, grown to something. Steven... Your last pickup line, I guess, from a microwave spaghetti stain and blistered piece of Tupperwares.
Sniff my box.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's all you need. Yeah. That's all you need. Yeah. Now watch how Eric's is going to be 70 times longer than that. That only means it has 210 words.
Correct.
Technically, Eric. So it's not like it's even long.
Let's see.
Eric, let's hear your third.
You know me well.
Well, I mean, I don't complain. I'm just let's hear your third of three, two or from pickup line, two or from face blindness.
All right. Excuse me. Hope you enjoyed my song. Can I get you a drink? Bartender, one dark and store. Whoa! How did you get behind the bar so fast? I was just offering to buy you a drink, and now you're behind the bar making drinks for me? What the heck? Then who was I talking to over here? Whoa! Wait a minute. Now you're back over here dressed as a bartender or a bar patron getting hit on by me? What the heck? You were just a bartender, and now you're over here dressed as a bar patron. Hey, bouncer, did you see this woman moving super fast? Whoa! What the heck? When did you get dressed up as a bouncer so quickly? I was just over here buying you a drink, and now all of a sudden you're dressed as a huge bouncer with big bulging muscles tossing me out onto the sidewalk? What the heck? What the heck? When did you get dressed as two police officers? I was just buying you a drink at the bar, and now all of a sudden you're two police officers throwing me into the back of a squad car? What the heck is going on? What the heck? When did you get dressed as a judge, bailiff, and impartial jury so quickly? I was just buying you a drink at the bar, but now you're sending me to 25 years in prison for money laundering? What the? Whoa! When did you get dressed up as the prison gang, the Steel Serpents? 1 second I was buying you a drink at the bar, the next second you're dressed as 15 men with tattoos of snakes eating chains, and you're shanking the crap out of me in the prison yard? What the heck? What the heck? When did you get dressed up as Hades? 1 second I was buying you a drink at the bar, and now all of a sudden your head is engulfed in blue flames, and you're dragging me down into a pool of trapped souls, and I try to get out of the underworld, but the gateway is guarded by a three-headed you? What the heck? Where did you get dressed up so quickly as the Moirai, otherwise known as the Three Fates, the personification of destiny? 1 second I'm buying you a drink at the bar, and the next second you're desperately trying to put back together my life thread because you find me so irritating? What the heck? And now my soul has been transported back to the bar with my destiny rewritten? Well, I guess I'll take that dark and stormy... What the heck? When did you get dressed up as a dark and stormy?
No coping skills. They find us with no coping skills.
I mean, I love how adorable Eric's prison gang is, too.
The Silver Serpents.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
The Steel Serpents.
We're going to get you.
The snakes eating chains. They're badass.
They're like,
they're like the dodgeball team that Ben Stiller's on. Like.
Oh, thank you, Eric.
Globo team.
Oh, heavens. Segment three, it's Sell It on Craigslist. So, we might have gotten a few things we wanted for Christmas this year, and we might have also been able to pawn off some of the rest of it in White Elephant gift exchange at year-end parties, but most of what we got is nonsense that we need out of our house immediately before it gets traction as a coat rack or a drink coaster and attaches itself to us. That's when we turn to the World Wide Web's dollar store parking lot trunk sale Craigslist. In Sell It on Craigslist, you've been asked to give us your Craigslist postings for the following things. So get out there and move some junk. Marco Cabote. Yes. Forgot. Marco.
Yeah.
Let's hear your post for all this shit still in your bag that you didn't have enough time to deliver last week.
For sale. Wait. Segment three.
Yes.
Sell it on Craigslist.
That's the one.
For sale. Collectibles. My loss is your gain. Mm-hmm. Are you an obsessive man-child who aggressively clings to their childhood as a way to fight off the disappointment pains of how godless and hollow adulthood is? Me too! And sometimes, men, when I have purchased too much... Wait a minute. Wait. I read this, for some reason, as... Shit still in my bag, I was dropping off at Goodwill or something like that.
That
but that's
too.
Not what it says. It says, I'm going to grab it.
Yeah.
All that shit still in your bag that you didn't have enough time to deliver last week.
Yes.
Deliver where? What shit? Shit? Or like I posted a Craigslist post and it was all like 24 VHS tapes, 2 episodes each of Star Trek The Next Generation, 48 total episodes season 1 and 2.
You only record 2 episodes per tape?
No, that's what they were sold as.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
The ones in the big... Okay.
Sure.
48 episodes, season 1 and 2 will deliver in a bag. And someone agreed to buy it. Mm. And after a... few days, he was all like, bro, where are my taps? And I was like, taps? And he says, tapes. Hmm. And I was like, oh. And I was like, I'm sorry, I was too busy to deliver them. And he was like, you were too busy at every point of a full week? Hmm. I Venmo'd you. You could have just dropped them off on the porch. Hmm. Nobody is going to steal them. They taps. I'm like, taps? It's not even funny. I just kept writing taps on all caps. He's all, you didn't give me your address, and I have no way to get them. Give me my bag of taps. Give me now. I want to watch the TNG 2 episodes at a time. I will report you to Venmo. I'm sure you can do that.
Problem.
I ain't never had to do that. I want... My TGN taps. I kill you. You not give now. Angie, you make me. I seethe. I kill family. You I find. You I kill. Scribble, scribble, so scribble. And my response is, I'm sorry. I was too busy to deliver them. Then I followed that up with a Craigslist post, which read as follows. for sale. 24 clamshell VHS tapes, 2 seasons of Star Trek The Next Generation, seasons 1 and 2, 48 episodes, really 47.25 if you count Shades of Grey correctly. It's a clip show.
Okay.
That's some bullshit. $6. I already sold them to a guy, but I didn't give them to him. And I'm selling them again. Mm-hmm. We'll deliver.
Yeah.
These are like all in the same voice. I love it. It's the same guy for all of these.
No, the whole thing is just the one post.
Yeah.
It just shows a picture of 20.
I'm saying all the way back to like your metal abbreviation. It sounds like the same guy. This is awesome.
So.
I didn't understand your prompt after I read it again.
Yes. Let me. So you are. You have a post trying to sell all the shit still in your bag that you didn't have enough time to deliver last week.
Like my job?
No, like fucking Santa.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, sorry.
Not even kind of did I think it was.
Well, good. That's good. I don't mind.
That's not how it reads. I read it how I read it, and
but
then
I left
read it again and was like, no, that's
I left it open-ended. You could have gotten that it was Santa, or you could have gotten that there were 24 clamshell Next Generation tapes in a, I assume, garbage bag.
Yeah, that's what I was
picturing. I did own 100%. Them all, too.
So there. See, the show is open to interpretation.
Yeah.
Even when I thought I was spoon-feeding
you
Santa. You could take it in any direction you want. See, that's the beauty of the show. Steven,
yeah.
Hi there.
Hi.
Oh, yeah. not so much a selling, but you've got your Craigslist posting. You're offering spots in your new martial arts class, teaching noogies and wedgies and other schoolyard-style attacks.
Right on. I did supply my own royalty-free cover of America the Beautiful for this. So hopefully this... picks up. Oh, beautiful for wicked noogs, for pampered wedgies of pain, for purple nurple's majesty, and other moves that are stupidly insane. Many of us have found ourselves in situations that demand vengeance, and in this nation of law and order, many forms of physical retribution land you directly in the slammer. I know you're angry. I know the world has treated you unfairly. I know there are world-class assholes out there that deserve a real thrashing, and I'm here to tell you that you still have options. Now, a punch to the groin may feel like a fistful of victory, but it'll lead you to a world full of hurt when you say goodbye to your loved ones and serve some hard time for assault and deal with those silver serpents. Yeah. Many of us wonder... how can I still enact a form of physical retribution without facing any sort of legal consequence? Well, look no further than Tyler Danden's School of Martial Arts. We've all heard of karate, taekwondo, Muay Thai, and other forms of physical domination. Muay Thai, whatever it is. The drink. We've all heard of the drink, the Muay Thai. What good is self-defense without a rock-solid legal defense? Over the last 15 years, I've developed a fighting form I call Sudo-Jitsu. Schoolyard-style physical confrontations that earn you a sense of power and the respect of your peers, all without enduring any legal repercussion. I have pored over all legal scholarship and court filings, and have yet to find a single case of someone being convicted over twisting someone's nipples over the shirt really hard. Not a whisper of jurisprudence on whether a real spitty piece of paper shot through a straw constitutes a weapon. And nowhere in the Constitution is the term wet willy mentioned. There was a signer named Hugh Williamson, but I checked it out, and he went by the Slopster. I've done the research, I've perfected the method, now it's time for you to do the work. Come to Tyler Danden's School of Martial Arts, leave your opponents weeping on the ground, and laughed out of the courtroom.
Oh, look at that.
I ended right there.
Yeah, I was going to say, timed out pretty well.
Salute.
Oh, Partial Arts.
Partial Arts.
Mm-hmm.
It's the steel serpent.
Gosh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I'm into Muay Thai. I'm really good at it.
How do you pronounce that? I didn't bother looking it up. Muay Thai.
Muay Thai, yeah.
No, but no, I was talking about the drink. Don't worry.
No, I like...
Muay Thai.
I like that it was Muay Thai. It makes more sense in that world.
What if I'm wearing a thing around my collar? Is that also a Muay Thai?
Yeah.
Yes. That's your Yi Tai. I would hope. Unless you got it out of my closet. thank you, Stephen. And Eric, hey, let's wrap up some selling stuff on Craigslist. Eric, let's hear your post for a beautifully handcrafted dining room set made of the finest materials and with expert care, but everything's just like 3 inches too short.
All right. Hello, my name is Rodney. Hello, my name is Rodney Very Strong, and I am selling a beautiful handcrafted dining set made by yours truly. I can guarantee quality craftsmanship, as I have 25 years experience working as a certified carpenter. However, you may notice that some of the dimensions seem kind of off. This is because I allow my beautiful daughter, Emilia, to do the measuring, and sometimes she likes to use inches, and sometimes she likes to use centimeters. I show her the numbers, and whatever she measures, that's what I go with. Because I'm not going to tell my beautiful daughter that she can't be who she wants to be. The world is hard enough for young women already, and I'm not going to be the person that tells her who she can't be and who she got to be. Now, let's start with the table. Okay? It is made from a mahogany sourced from a local ethical tree grower. Perfect for guests. It is a beautiful 88 inches long, 55 inches wide, and 44 centimeters tall. And if you're wondering, yes, that is about the average height of a human shin. That is because my beautiful daughter, Emilia, decided to use centimeters for the legs instead of inches. So yes, you are going to strain your neck and your lower back while you are eating. Yes, you are extremely likely to bump the bony part of your knee on the side of the table. And yes, if you have a mid-sized dog, it's the perfect height for your dog to steal your plate. But if that's the price to pay for a little girl, a beautiful little girl, to feel safe in this world, then your dog's eating your ribeye, buddy. Your dog's eating your ribeye, pal. Your dog's eating your steak, friend. Because I'm not going to tell my daughter to use inches when she wants to use centimeters. The world's already too hard for young women out there, all right? You got to learn that she wants to use centimeters, and when she wants to use inches, what are you going to tell her next? She can't be president. She can't be a doctor. Hell no. If you tell her it's too short, I'll kick your ass. Moving on to the chairs. You're probably wondering, are the chairs also really short? No, the chairs are normal height. That being said, they are not very wide. They are made from a beautiful cherry birch, and they were upholstered by a local Indian-owned small business. They are 24 inches high, 26 inches long, and 24 centimeters across. If you're wondering what that looks like, see the attached picture or imagine sitting on a box of crayons. Yes, you will only be able to get one cheek on this chair. Yes, you are definitely going to hit the bony part of your knee on the edge of the very short table. And yes, wobbling around on this chair will make it even more difficult to protect your ribeye from your hungry mid-sized dog. But if that's the price to pay so a little girl, a beautiful little girl, can feel safe in this world, then you're sitting on one butt bone, buddy. You're sitting on one butt bone, buddy, because I'm not going to tell my daughter, my beautiful daughter, that she has to use inches. She wants to use centimeters. Next thing you'll tell, be telling her that she can't go to space. You're going to tell my little girl that she can't go to space. If you tell her she can't go to space, I'm going to kick your ass. Moving on to the China hut. Now, admittedly, this one is the weirdest of all of them because the height was measured in centimeters, the depth was measured in inches, and the length was measured in yards. So, yes, it is about as long as an 18-wheeler. And, yes, you cannot grab plates without fully bending over. And, yes, it is the perfect height for your mid-sized dog to sniff around and knock over all of your fine china. But if that's the price for a little girl, a beautiful little girl, a beautiful, intelligent, curious little girl to feel like she can retrieve her dreams, then guess what? Your China Hutch is taking up two rooms, buddy. Your China Hutch is taking up two rooms, pal. And if you want to tell my daughter, my beautiful daughter, that she can't choose units of measurements willy-nilly, then you might as well tell her to pack up and move back to the 50s because she can't be who she wants to be. And if you think you can make my daughter time travel back to times of lesser equality, then I'm going to kick your ass. This is selling for $1,500, serious offers only, except for my daughter, who is allowed to make joke inquiries.
Yeah. And if you're going to tell my beautiful daughter. Oh, well done, Eric. Ugh. It's finely crafted, but it's anarchy. So.
A good craftsman.
Yeah. Oh, the work, exquisite. The standardization of units of measure, less good. Segment four is dating profiles. Dating. It's how we decide whether or not we made the right choice with choosing to not just remain blissfully alone at home, able to do whatever we want, whenever we want, without having to run it by anybody. And love, and blah, blah, blah. And so it is in dating profile where that journey begins. And your job is to give us the dating profiles of the following people, places, or things searching for love, or whatever else it's all about. Marco Cabote, let's hear your dating profile from the fish in every guy's dating profile picture.
Number four, dating profile.
Yes.
Hello, ladies of the plenty of fish in the dating or fish in the sea dating app.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, see,
yeah, yep,
there it is.
Well done.
My name is Bassie Troutman, and I am a 22-pound black bass and or rainbow trout, depending on how much of a commie these hands are. I like roller coasters, walks on the beach, and flopping on dry sand until I'm unable to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why he likes it. I guess that's true. Any more?
There it is.
I made it pretty far this time.
Yeah.
Any more shorts? Any more after the... Oh, any more? I don't know what that says. I'm going to have to skip that.
Maybe
after
shots?
The picture is taken? Oh, to breathe. Oh, okay. There it was a continuation. And flopping around on the dry sand until I'm unable to breathe anymore shortly after the picture is taken.
There you
That's
go.
What it there was. You. Okay. As you can tell from my picture, I am enthralling. A catch, you might say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wouldn't you like to hold me aloft? Yeah. No. I look slimy and scaly, while my personality is soft, shimmering, and sparkles.
Oh.
So if you're looking, oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking for a good, blessed Christian man, let me jump in your net.
Mm.
God bless America. President George H.W. Bush, and God bless our troops overseas. Yeah. Amen.
Oh, I was
just H.W.
Yeah.
Just H.W.
Just
none
H.W.
of them.
Was hoping he wasn't going to miss the troops.
No, I put a note at the top to put God bless the troops.
Well done.
I like roller coasters.
Yeah.
First thing.
It's a patriotic fish.
Oh, boy.
Oh, all right. Thank you, Marco. And apparently I just went dumb with the dating profiles. I'm reminding myself as I look over these, as witnessed by Steven, let's hear your dating profile for someone who has recently turned into a teapot.
I'm a little teapot. Be my mug. Give me a kissy. Give me a hug. Just kidding. I'm a sophisticated partner. I'm interested in the mature and erotic. I enjoy various hot beverages and conversations about Argentina. Don't get me confused with that silly Disney character, but I'll tell you a tale as old as time. Sex. That's right. Long, passionate sex. Sure, I could describe the mechanics to you, how it all works, but don't cheat yourself. Let me work my magic. You ever wonder how that sleepy time bear got so sleepy? Yeah, that's right. I fucked his brains out. You looking for a spot of tea? Well, I'm looking for a spot of G. Look, I know love's no sport, but you should know. They call me the referee because if it gets too steamy, I'll whistle. That's the end.
Nice.
Thank you.
Nice. Thank you, Steven. Well done.
Thank you.
Hey, Eric. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
For what? Let's hear your dating profile from somebody really into core Borgian. And as far as I know, that's not a real thing, so it's up to you what that means.
Oh, no. You basically just gave me a thing that said, have fun
well,
and do
yeah.
what you want.
Yeah, I suppose.
You ass. All right, here we go.
Hello, my name is Jeremy Tapioca. I am 36 years old. I live in Portland, Oregon, and I am seeking a partner who is stimulating, interesting, and of course, fit. I am very into fitness, as I run the local studio specializing in the ancient French art of cuisine, probably known to simpler Americans as boardcore, which is, of course, the art of slapping yourself over and over in the stomach with wooden boards. Mm-hmm. Now, I am going to answer some questions on the questionnaire here. Question one, what does a typical day look like for you? Well, of course, I start my day with a healthy breakfast of an everything bagel laid on top of a salmon fillet, because it is important to eat the bagel on top of the salmon as it releases the enzymes in the correct order to help you digest properly. And then, of course, I head to my cuisine studio, where world-renowned personal trainer Jet Maruto spends 2 hours slapping me in the stomach with boards. Jet himself has tried to claim that this will not build muscle, but instead will actually just hurt my stomach and likely cause irreparable damage to my organs. However, I explained to Jet that in order to build muscle, the first step is actually building skin tolerance, according to the ancient practice of cuisine. Question two. What are your likes and your dislikes in a partner? My likes are somebody who would be comfortable slapping me in the stomach with wooden boards for up to 2 hours a day. This would not only help us bond, but would also enable me to stop paying Jet Maruto an exorbitant fee because he doesn't want to train this way and said he is incredibly uncomfortable causing this much damage to a human being. My dislikes in a partner would be anybody who claims that my muscles are not actually growing and I need to see a doctor because the skin on my stomach is lacerated, bruised, and covered in big bubbly blisters. Hopefully my partner would understand that this is part of the process of building skin tolerance in the ancient art of cuisine. Question three, what is your financial situation? Mine is actually really super bad because I am having trouble finding clients who are interested in coming to the studio to be slapped over and over in the stomach with wooden boards. And I have sunk a lot of money not only into the brick and mortar space, but also into 300 pounds of 2x4s and also hundreds of crates of Vaseline because my skin always feels like it's on fire. And on top of that, I keep having to pay Jet Maruto double and triple the rates because he keeps breaking down into tears, begging me to stop doing cuisine and to just let him help me lift weights. So if you are fit, fun, and stimulating, then please DM me. And also, if we go out to dinner, please be patient with my dietary restrictions as my intestines have been completely bashed to bits. Hope to hear from you soon.
Oh. Yeah. Even improved on the pronunciation.
He sounded hot.
Kobojin.
It's a hottie.
Well done. Eric, I just had a mini stroke. Well done. It's segment five. It's the final segment. It's movie makeup. There's going to be a large empty hole in our 2024 entertainment enjoyment. What with the writer's strike last year, so many things had to be pushed back. And we're going to be greatly lacking in cinema this calendar stroll. So it seems like a perfect opportunity for us to throw our hats in the ring and see if we can't make something quick and bankable to fill them empty screens. So in movie makeup, it's your job to give us the synopses of these made-up movies based on the following titles, randomly generated by some of the various random title generators of our friends at 7thSanctum.com, who still are none the wiser that this is how we use their website. Marco Cabote. I don't know.
Yeah, Jesse.
Let's hear your synopsis for your new made-up movie, Beyond Courage, New Blood.
Beyond Courage, New Blood. Blake Shotgun was a cop on the edge who could never let go of the Vietnam War. He was also a Frankenstein monster. Which makes him a Frankenstein monster cop on the edge who couldn't let go of the Vietnam War.
Was he shooting so many minorities because the streets were filled with multiracial, neon-colored, coordinated gangs? Or because Charlie killed his best friend, the Wolfman and Dracula? Only God knows.
Oh, no.
While on the blood-soaked trail of a sadistic serial killer, the chief of police decided he needed a new partner. Some new blood, if you will.
Yeah, so.
A rookie by the name of Jane Mothra, a detective who is also an 80-foot giant moth. Can they put aside their differences and form a team? Can Jane Mothra ever replace his old partner who died in the line of duty, Jack Courage?
Oh, no.
Who was a mummy? Because they were monsters?
Sure.
Will they ever track down the sadistic serial killer killing unsuspecting New Yorkers with punji sticks? Wait, Ho Chi Minh? Did you follow Blake Shotgun from Saigon to the streets of New York? Who's the real monster? Don't miss Beyond Courage, New Blood.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm glad, and I think I'm just now putting this together. I'm glad that you also didn't forget Vietnam, because I think every show Vietnam makes an appearance.
Well, the way you said he can't let go of the Vietnam War, like it's a flaw. Yes.
Well, shut up about it.
You stop bringing up Vietnam.
Move on, Frank.
Get it.
It's like his quirk.
This fucking guy.
You have
guy.
To stop him because he does that stare off into the distance.
Right. 1972. Oh. There it was.
This Frankenstein.
Oh, God. He's going to talk about the jungle again. Well, we get it.
We get it, Frank. You were in the shit. Sure. Yeah. We got it. Thank you, Marco. Hey, how can people get more Marco Cabote outside of the very specific confines of this episode of the Stab Program?
Why, Jesse Jones, I pulled up my email.
Hell
and
yeah.
I will be at Sketchfest in San Francisco Friday, January 19th at 9:45 p.m. at the Marsh Main Stage.
Ooh, nice.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah, sounds like it'll be a good time. It's on a Friday even.
Yeah, I know,
you're
right?
Not like on a Tuesday in a coffee shop.
Yeah. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, nice. Well, awesome. Good to have you as always. Thank you so much. Stephen Boyd, let's round out your first appearance on this program, which, you know, I might put in a good word for you with whoever runs this damn thing.
Cameron?
Stephen, let's hear your let's hear your rundown of this made-up movie, Dangerous Therapy.
This isn't actually a made-up movie. It wasn't. So I knew of this one kind of vaguely. I was studying abroad in Scotland when it came out, though. Mm. It's one of those things where like the title was different on an international release. Sure. So at the time when it came out, I actually knew the movie as What About Bomb? So I just pulled the synopsis kind of right off IMDb.
Sure.
So What About Bomb? Follows Richard Dreyfuss as an aimless psychoanalyst who is troubled by a particularly challenging patient. Bill Murray holding a hand grenade. In a high-stakes cat and mouse, Bill chases Dreyfuss through a small clinic, shouting, "My mommy hates me." Dreyfuss faces an impossible dilemma many therapists dread, having his middle-aged flesh strewn about his office by a concussive explosion or canceling an appointment.
Mm.
That is What About Bomb / Dangerous Therapy.
Sure, sure. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the translations... make them better.
They got to market it. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well done, Stephen. Hey,
thank you.
How you mentioned earlier, and it's been under you this entire time, but there may be other ways. How can people enjoy more Stephen Boyd where they work and make?
I hate to. That is literally the only way that I think I'd recommend. So big.fat.heart.poetry on Instagram.
Awesome.
That's the best.
Well, there you go.
Thank you.
Yeah. No. Happy to have you.
Thank you.
I'll let Cameron know he's allowed in the building.
Okay.
Eric. Barger, before you wrap this up, let's give people ways that they can enjoy more Eric Barger in their lives.
Oh my gosh. This is the part where I'm always like, I have like five different things. So I'm like, what do I say? And they're all different names. So you can find me on Instagram at itelectric, not it's electric. Mm-hmm. It Electric. It's Electric is some girl from North Carolina. But yeah, I do like all I you know, Instagram's my not my money maker because I don't make any money from it, but it's where, you know, it's my central hub, and sure. Anything else that you can, anything else I do there or elsewhere will be put on that central hub. Yeah. So Instagram at it electric. And well, since there's new people, I'll just say also I have a album on Spotify. Yes. A comedy album under the artist name EJB1. Mm-hmm. And it's called Party Animal (parentheses party songs by a guy you don't want at your party. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
Check that out,
please do. Eric, let's wrap up this episode with your synopses of your made-up movie Speed Action.
All right. This preview is rated R for language, sexual content, and violence. And the producers of this film also want to state, for legal reasons, that this film is not the same thing as Fast and the Furious. So everybody stop saying it is. In the world of illegal underground vehicle time trials, he's the king. No one can beat Donathan Tomato. Oh. But when a policeman goes undercover to infiltrate this seedy world, everything changes. Hey, I'm just like you. I want to be a part of this world.
If you want to be a part of my crew, you gotta prove yourself.
What if I told you I could get you a 1/6 of a minute automobile?
A 1/6 of a minute automobile? Now we're talking.
Starring Paul Saunter and Vince Unleaded. It's a tale of understanding each other and becoming brothers. Man, I had you pegged as a really bad guy.
No, I'm not a bad guy. I'll just do anything to protect my relatives. What life is all about, relatives. You have to protect your relatives.
The movie was so popular that it led to a sequel featuring the hit song by the hit rapper Ridiculous. Two speed, two action, two speed, two action. I'm too speed for y'all. The hibbity jibbity it'll be off with their clothes. Then of course there's Speed Action Osaka Swerve, which we don't talk about because it sucks. And the always forgettable The Speed and the Action. Then the franchise grew and grew, amassing in popularity, leading to the box office smashes Speedy 5, Speedy 6, Action-y 7, and The Fate of the Action. Which all leads us to our new movie, The Speed and the Action 9, in which Dominic Tomato has to face his brother, who is still played by John Cena.
We need to stop my brother. He's gone out of control. He was told at a restaurant that there was no soup, and now he's amassed a small army to try to find the ratatouille who can make him a delicious cup of minestrone soup. He's built
a rat magnet that is being controlled by an orbiting satellite. So you're telling me that we have to knock this satellite out all the way up in space?
That's right.
I got some bad news for you, Donathan. We can get to space, but as soon as we get up there, our skin would be torn apart. We're just not built for going up there. Nobody has that kind of skin tolerance.
Actually, I beg to differ. I have been building up my skin tolerance with the help of renowned trainer Jet Maruto in the practice of Kenpachi.
Korbojin, man. Korbojin. Cut to a chase in the street.
It's done, John Cena. Give it up. No. Activate the rat magnet.
Wait, what the heck? What the heck is this? Some kind of piece of crap? Why isn't the rat magnet working?
Rodney, I gave you the measurements on the rat magnet. Why isn't it working? Actually, my daughter did the measurements on the rat magnet, and part of it was in inches, and part of it was in centimeters. And are you going to tell my girl, my little girl, my beautiful little girl, exactly who the hell she should be? If hell no, if you do, I'll kick your ass, son! My rat magnet. Oh, God. I guess it's over. I guess I'll never get that soup I so desperately crave. Judge Cena, it's okay. You're my relative. Mm-hmm. You could go to your oasis and order a salad instead of soup. Thanks, Donathan. He hands him a salad. Thanks, Donathan. Whoa! What the heck? When did you get dressed up as a salad? The end.
Yeah. Oh, for those new to an Eric appearance, it's always one, the puppet show, and tying the Eric Barger cinematic universe together.
The preview gave away the whole movie, though.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah, it is kind of all there. And
hibbity-jibbity.
That was the Stab Show. Thank you for joining us tonight, and of course a special thank you to our amazing panel, Marco Cabote, Stephen Boyd, and Eric Barger. Now, if you enjoyed what you just witnessed and would like as many more of them at your fingertips as you can have, well, this and 381 other episodes are available any old time via the podcast provider of your choice, be it Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or the Good Pods app. Or, if you like to make sure to catch the Stab Show as it happens, then you just need to be at Stab Comedy Theater or in front of Stab TV on Twitch Friday nights at 7:30, and we'll be there just waiting for you. But that's all we got for you tonight, so until next time, I've been your host, Jesse Jones, saying don't worry if you're confused and unsure what you're doing. We all are. It's whoever hides it the best that gets all the candy. Good night!